Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Presence Day Yom Iyun at the Young Israel Vodmir, arranged by the Talmidim of DRS. We are learning Leilui Nishmas Tzvi Gershon Ben Yoel V'chana Alav HaShalom is Nesham Shavali in the Merit of our Torah. Please come in and take a seat. I don't want you standing for the duration of the shir. Today's shir, there are handouts on the table, is called Moda Ani, the first prayer of the day and the essence of the Jew. When the boys, Yaakov, reached out to me and asked me if I would speak at the program and that the topic was tefillah, it is a topic that I speak a lot about. I have a tefillah class every other week studying Rav Shimshon Pinkus' Sha'ar and B'tefillah, and I wanted to choose a tefillah that I have not spoken about and that I really not taught, and to prepare a brand new shir not only for you, but for myself as well. And that's this year, Moda Ani, the first prayer of the day, and the essence of the Jew. For those of you who learn with me on a kavua basis, you know half an hour is not much time. Whew, but we're going to get it in. Okay, this is brought down in Mitocha Ohel, put up by Yeshiva University. Rabbi Eric Goldman writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that his presence is hidden. He is Kal Mistater, the hidden God. We can easily go through an entire day of activities and not once see or feel that God is right there. But of course, we understand and we know that nothing happens in this world without Hashem's allowance. It is up to us to see that hashgacha, to feel it. For example, he writes, a person goes out on an errand. There is nothing inherently holy about the particular task at hand, and yet there is tremendous potential within that errand to connect to Hashem in that activity. How much does a person feel that the Ribbono Shel Olam, that God is with him? To what extent do we believe he is in full control of the situation, leaving only the choice of right and wrong in our hands? It is to the degree that we grasp and internalize that we are able to change an ordinary chore into an activity that connects us with God. How much more so when it comes to the big decisions in our lives, times of simcha or tragedy, chalila, by understanding that God is not only involved, but that he is the one who is in total control, we can connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam in such a powerful way. And there is no greater method of connection or internalizing how close he is than coming to the understanding that he is in charge. He is the Kal Mistater, not only in the world and in nature, but Rabbi Goldman concludes with, more importantly, within ourselves. Okay, we need to have chairs. There was a young fellow here. Did he leave? Is it possible, for more chairs? Are there chairs? Okay, I just want to make sure nobody's standing. There are a couple here. Please come in. It is our responsibility to realize that God is the Kal Mistater, not just in the world and in nature, but more importantly, he is hidden. He is revealed. He is the Kal within ourselves. Moda ani lefanacha melach chai v'kayam shachazarta bi nishmasi b'chamla rabba amunasecha. There is no mention of the standard text of Moda Ani as we recite it today, found in Talmudic or medieval sources. It is a relatively recent prayer. There is no mention of the text of Moda Ani as we recite it today, found in Talmudic or medieval sources, and yet it has become the tefillah with which Jews the world over awake. When is the first mention that we have of some semblance of the Moda Ani? And that's in Gemar Maseches Brachos. I gave it to you on your handout. I mentioned that you need a handout, you need to sit next to someone who has one. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, it's on your handout, the following text of Elokai Neshama should be recited when we wake up in the morning. Ki mita er, when you wake up, I'm reading from your source sheet, Omer, a person should say, Elokai Neshama shenasata bi tahorahi, my God, the soul which you placed within me is tahora, is pure. Ata yitzarta, you have fashioned my neshama. Ata nefachta bi, you have blown it into me. Ata meshamar bikir bi, you guard it within me. Va'ata asid litla mimeni, in the future you will take this neshama from me. V'lahachazir bi la'asid lavo, and in the Mosa Mashiach, by the time of Trias Amesim, you will return this soul to me. All the while that my soul is within me, all the while that I am alive, Moda ani lefanacha, Hashem Elokai v'Elokei v'Sai. Thankful am I before you, the God of my fathers, my God, and my Father. So do you understand that I bolded it for you in Masachas Brachos? This is a reference or an allusion to the text of the Elokai Neshama of the Moda Ani as we recite it today. We, by the way, still recite Elokai Neshama, Ribon Koho Olamim, the master of all worlds, Adam Kala Neshamas, the master of all souls. Blessed are you, God, who returns souls to dead beings. The earliest Siddurim to include the standard text of Moda Ani as we recite it today were published in the late 16th to early 17th century. So Moda Ani, the way we recite it today, did not appear on the scene till the late 16th, which is the late 1500s, early 17th century, early 1600s. It is a relatively new tefillah, and yet it has become so firmly entrenched in our psyche and in our daily routine and part of our entire essence that it is the first word we recite when we open our eyes in the morning. Moda Ani is usually incorrectly translated. I am thankful before you, the living and everlasting King. And I did give you Moda Ani as the first source on your handout. And that would be Ani Moda. I am thankful. The first word that a Jew says is not I. Rather, thankful am I before you, the living and everlasting King. It is usually incorrectly translated as I am thankful before you. That is not correct. The correct translation is thankful am I before you, with the first word being Moda and not Ani. The first word we say should not be Ani. In fact, we should try minimizing the word, the use of the word Ani in general. The root word Moda, thankful, has been made famous by our foremother Leah upon the birth of her fourth child, and that is on your handout as well. It says Bereishis 29:35, which means Bereishis Chaf Tes Lamed Hei. Vatahar od Leah, they conceived, Vatele Bain, she gave birth to a son, Vatomer. Hapam Oda as Hashem, this time I will thank Hashem. By the fourth son, she says, this time I will thank Hashem, Alkein Karashimo Yehuda. Therefore, she called his name Yehuda, I bolded Hapam Oda as Hashem, Mode Oda as Hashem, Mode Ani, Vataamor mi lettuce, and she stopped giving birth. Of course, she will have two more sons, but at this point, she stopped giving birth. Rashi on the Chumash says, and I gave that to you as well, Hapam Oda. Why does she say, this time I will give thanks? What about Reuven? Why didn't she give thanks by the Bechor? Why didn't she give thanks by number two? Why didn't she give thanks by Levi? Now, the fourth time, Shenatalti Yoter Michalki, I took more than my portion. Me'ata Yeshli Lehodos. Therefore, now, I have to give thanks. What do you mean, I took more than my portion? While she had Nevuah, the Imahos were Nevios, that there were four mothers. There were supposed to be 12 tribes. So everyone figured four mothers, 12 tribes. Everyone's going to get three sons. Leah finds that she has a fourth boy, Ata. Now, may Ata, Yeshizodos. Look at Targum Yonis and Abarishis. It's so beautiful. Targum Yonis' son says, and it's in Aramaic. I'm going to read it and translate it for you. Please follow along with me. Vis Abras, Tuv, and she became pregnant. She conceived again. V'yaledis Bar, she gave birth to son Bar Mitzvah, Ben. She gave birth to son. V'amaras, Hada Zimana, Ode Kadam Hashem. You should be able to understand some of this, by the way. If you pay attention, it's really easy to understand. Va'amaras, va'amra, hada zimana, this time, Ode Kadam Hashem, I will give thanks before Hashem. Demin breeding, because through this son, Asid lemeipak malchin, through this son, kings will arise. Uminehu yipik David malka, and through this son, David Hamelech will be established. Da asid leoduye kadam Hashem. Isn't that beautiful? Why should they give thanks to Hashem this time? Because through this son, who is Yehuda, Yehuda is the father of Malchus. Malchus comes, leads to David Melech Yisrael. What did David compose? A whole book of Hodah. So they Ribono Shel Olam. David composed no matter what he was doing in life. He was saying thanks to God. Through this son, kings will be established. And through the kingdom, David Malka, the Asid Le'oduye Kadam Hashem. David will give thanks through his Tehillim to God. Begin came, therefore, Karashme Yehuda, she called his name Yehuda, Vakames Milimelad. And therefore, she stopped giving birth. But Targum Yonis and Al-Bereishis gives us a beautiful Ha'ara here, an added detail that to give thanks to Hashem is expressed through the Kapitach of Tehillim through David Melach Yisrael. Shem Shemfal Hirsch points out, when her fourth son was born with the birth of Yehuda, she no longer regarded the newborn as a means of attaining a greater measure of her husband's love. She felt that now with the fourth son, surely she's there. She had three sons. Rachel was the love wife, but at this point Rachel has no sons, and Leah has four sons. She could simply, says Rav Hirsch, rejoice in her son as a delighted mother she proclaimed, "This time I can thank God," says the first, "just for the gift. No ulterior motives. With Levi, it was Ata Hapam Yilava Ishi Eli. Maybe my husband will accompany me." With the fourth son, she gives thanks to God just for the gift of the child, and she named him Yehuda. How powerful was this declaration of thanks that Leah expressed to the Ribbono Shel Olam upon the birth of her fourth son? If you could please look at Maseches Brachos Zayin, it says Maseches Brachos 7b. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Miyam Shabara Hakash Baruchu Es Olamo. From the day that the Almighty created His world, Lo Haya Adam Shahoda LaHakash Baruchu Ad Shabasa Leia. There was no one who expressed, who gave, who recited, who turned towards God in thanks until Leah came along. V'hodaso, and she gave thanks. And do you see how powerful that is? The first person since Bria Sa'olam to give thanks to God was who? Leah Imenu Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hapam Oda Es Hashem. This time I will thank Hashem. So according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the first person to give thanks to God was Leah Imenu. What does Rashi comment on the Gemara? It's on your handout. Hapam Oda Es Hashem. Lefisha Ra'asa Baruch HaKodesh. Now we said this outside already, but this is what Rashi comments on the Gemara. Lefisha Ra'asa Baruch HaKodesh. She saw with divine inspiration. She Yaakov Ma'amid Shneim Asar Shvatim. We said this outside, but it's nice to see Rashi on the Gemara itself. Yaakov would establish 12 tribes. Velo Arba Nashim. He has 4 wives. Kevin Sheyalda Ben Revi'i. She now had a 4th son. Hodas Al-Chalka. She gave thanks for her portion. She Ala Yoter Min HaCheshvan HaMagilo. She figured, I have a Cheshvan. We're all going to get 3, I got 4, she gave thanks. What did Leah introduce into the world with her thanks that is so fundamental that it is her thanks which is the basis of our thanks to God upon awaking each morning? It seems pasha psha, we understand it. She said thank you to God. We've quoted Rashi, we've quoted Targum Yonasan, we've quoted Rav Shamshar Val Hirsch, we looked in the Gemara. Is there something deeper going on here? And the answer is yes. And this pshat is so tremendous. What is the root, the main point of giving thanks to God as we open our eyes at the start of a new day each morning? The salvation is a brilliant pshat. Listen carefully. The concept of giving thanks involves expressing gratitude for God. Let's start again. The concept of giving thanks expresses the concept of expressing gratitude to God for that which has been attained. That's easy. We understand that. Thank you, God, for that which I have attained. Thank you, God, for that which I have. However, there's a caveat. It is also accepting that it is impossible to acquire everything which one desires. That was Leah's thanks. This is a fundamental statement and a crucial concept to understanding not only Leah's thanks, but my Moda Ani every single morning. What is the Rav explaining that Leah really introduced since my separations? There never was such a thing. Is it simply thank you, God? Anyone could say thank you. It's coming from a person who didn't have it so easy. Vayar Hashem ki snu aleya. Vayiftach es rachma. Rachal haya yifastor vifem ma'a v'ene Leah rakos. Leah didn't have it so easy. Lameri Misani, says Yaakov, the morning after the wedding. You gave me the wrong wife. I didn't want to marry her. I met Rachel at the well. Vayishak la, I love Rachel. How could you do this? How could you give me the wrong wife? I didn't want her. I don't really love her. That Karas Habayah, says Rashi, tells us many times in Bereshis was Rachel, not Leah. And yet, who introduced the concept of thanksgiving into the world? Hapam Odes Hashem, the Rav is explaining a fundamental truism, an absolute necessity in Amunah. The concept, I'm going to quote the Rav again, the concept of expressing thanksgiving, of gratitude to God, is thanks for that which has been attained, while accepting that it is impossible to acquire everything which one desires. Only after the fourth child was born did Leah resign herself to the truth of her relationship with Yaakov. Leah realized, after giving birth to 3 sons, there will be no fundamental change in Yaakov's relationship with her, even after 4 sons, 4 Shvatim. By the way, the most illustrious, Levi, Yehuda, the Bachar, Reishis Oni, nevertheless, There will be no change in Yaakov's love for her. Rachel would always remain the greater object of Yaakov's love. With Yehuda's birth, Leah relinquished the hope of ever being the Akeres HaBayis, and nevertheless, she gave thanks to God. Nevertheless, she is still grateful for the love of these four children. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai maintains that it is Leah who is the first to offer thanks to God. She was the first to assert that God must be praised for any blessing he bestows upon us, despite the suffering and the persecution we have become associated with the name Yehuda. What is a Jew? Yehudi ani. Vayish Yehudi.
He was from the tribe of Binyamin, Yishimiri, and is introduced as an Ish Yehudi. We have become associated with the name Yehuda,
with the very name of thanks, says of salvation, because despite the persecution and despite the suffering, we remain thankful to God for the privilege of having been selected as his people. On a national level, we are Yehudim because despite it all, we give thanks. And on an individual level, could change the way we daven in the morning. When I say daven, I mean open your eyes and say Moda Ani. It is an acknowledgement that my ratzon is often different than God's ratzon. I run a certain thing. I plan for a certain thing. I thought this is how my life is going to go. And lo and behold, it's not the way exactly I planned. Nevertheless, at hapam Oda Es Hashem. Nevertheless, Moda Ani Lefanecha. Ani doesn't go first. Moda goes first. Thankful am I before you. Why did they give us half an hour? Okay, Hashem's gonna help. I made my bracha before for those who came in a little late. Salvechik speaks about it. He says, your reputation is not your own. Reputation belongs to God. Risa Rotman, whose husband, Chaim Howie Rotman, was the last of the Harnof Kedoshim to die. He was in a comatose state almost for 1 year post-attack. He died the following Cheshvan. She has a new book. I don't know if anyone read it. I recommend it. I'm quoting from the end of the book. Risa Rotman writes, her husband died mamish as Shabbos was entering. The Levaya was Motze Shabbos. We had arranged for the little kids to come to me at 11 a.m. on Shabbos morning. I wanted to be the one to tell them directly. They rushed in with the energy of a rocket. How's Abba? Racheli asked right away. I said, you know, Abba started to get sicker and sicker. I wanted to break the news slowly. How is he? She demanded. I tried to break the news gently. You know, Abba has not really been well. But how is he? I gave up with a slow approach, says Risa. Racheli, Abba's in Shemayim with Eli. The Rotmans lost a son a number of years prior to the Harnof attack. Abba's in Shemayim with Eli and Hashem. Oh, he passed away, she exclaimed. Akiva, the little brother, did you hear? Abba passed away. Abba's in Shemayim. Akiva was more interested in playing with his one-year-old niece than such information, but I did get an insight into his four-year-old mind when the Menahel of his cheder showed up to be Menachem Abba. Akiva explained to this very tall man, little Akiva was 4 years old, my Abba went to Shemayim. He will come back when he has a refuah shleima. In a certain sense, she writes, he is right. Immediately after Shabbos, things got very busy. More and more people entered the house to show support. A whole group of women were surrounding me. This is right before the Levaya. And I quietly commented, it was a hard year. Somebody, and I don't really remember who, said, no, it was a terrible year, Risa. I paused and I said, no, I cannot call it a terrible year. My son got married this year. Two new grandchildren were born to us. I have to take the good with the bad. Silence filled the room as everyone digested my comment. We were told it was time to go. We left to escort Chaim to his final resting place. Ata hapam oda shosem. Moda ani lefenecha. What does Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai mean? The lay was the first to introduce the concept of hoda, of moda, into the thread of Maisa Bereishis. I have to take the good with the bad. Wasn't a terrible year. It was a hard year. I have to look at the brachos in my life and give thanks for those, even if I admit that there is a lot of difficulty. Upon awaking each morning, we have to fathom the great gift. We can't even fathom the gift of life that the Ribbono Shel Olam bestowed upon us. once again. And this is what Leah taught us. And this is the godless of this tefillah that is relatively new, though it is perhaps based on the Elokai Neshama that we saw in the beginning, brought down in the Gemara that we start our day with every day. I may feel a lack, and yet I can still say, my first word can still be Moda. I admit that I have everything you want me to have, and for that I give thanks. Can I see something? I could keep it? You could share? Turn to page 2, please. I just want to see what I gave you. Okay. Turn to page 2 of your handout. Will you share? Okay. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, full of halachas bein Adam l'chaveiro, right after Parshas Yisro and the great revelation at Sinai, you have to know how to treat your fellow Jew. So the Pasuk tells us, im chaval tachbo salmas re'acha, if you take your fellow's garment as a security, ad bo ha-shemesh tishivenu lo, until the sun sets, you shall have returned it to him. Continues the next Pasuk chavav, ki hi kisusa, it is his garment, levada, his only one. It's not like today, we can't exactly relate to this concept that a person has one garment, and if you take it as a security, the mamish is going to have nothing to wear. Such it was back in the day. Osalveshuk speaks about it. I tell my kids very often, mommy, you told us this already. Osalveshuk says that it was Shvat, and his mother called him in. His father was so poor, he was wearing torn pants. He says, I wanted a bicycle. A bicycle was as far as me, far away from me, as a Chinese warlord is away from us. And his pants were torn, and his pants were short. And people, the children would make fun of him. In Cheder, the town, Rav's goes with such pants. And one winter, his mother called him in, and she says, this Nissan, you'll have new pants. And he was so excited for Pesach, he was going to have new pants. She called him in Rosh Chodesh Nissan 2 months later, and she said, I'm sorry. We don't have the money. I can't make you new pants. He said, I wanted a ball. I had to make a ball. But we can't relate to this pasuk anymore. Kihi kasusa levada. He's simla sola oro. He has one garment. It's his clothing for his skin. But ma yishkav, what's he going to wear? V'haya ki tzakele v'shamati ki chanun ani. You lend somebody something, they can't pay you back. So now you say, okay, you can't pay back. You better give me a collateral. So he says, the only thing I have is my shirt. So you say, good, give me your shirt. It's a collateral. And he's going to call it to God. He's going to say, the man took my shirt, I have nothing to wear. So Rashi says, what's going on here? Im chabal tachbal, kol ashan chavala. I'm reading from your handout. Ein mashkon b'shas halava. It doesn't mean taking the garment as security at the time of the loan. Ala shemashkinin esalova, kishemagias man ve'enopora. You get an amount, you're going to pay me back. I lend you $50. An amount, you're going to give me back the $50 or the 50 shekel. And then the month comes and the man says, I don't have the $50, so you say, give me something else instead. So he says, the only thing I have is my shirt, so you say, good, give me your shirt, until you can pay me back the $50. So Rashi's explaining, it doesn't mean you take the shirt at the time of the loan, you take it when he's supposed to pay you back, okay? Then, continues Rashi, chabal tachbal, why a double lashon? You could just say one lashon, kifalacha b'chavala ad kama pa'amim. You have to take the shirt back and forth a number of times. What does this mean? Amar kosh baruch, what is the allusion here? In other words, you don't want to leave him to wear nothing. The next Rashi tells us, the kisus yom hakasuv medaber. We're talking about a day garment. So every night, he has pajamas and he has a shirt. This is the garment that he wears by day. He owes you $50. You with me? I'm trying to make this very clear. He can't pay you back. So it's a day garment. So every night, ad bo hashemesh, you come and you say, you're putting on your pajamas, give me your shirt. He gives you a shirt. You have to go back in the morning and give him his shirt. He puts on the shirt. You come back at night by Shkia, you David Marv, you're putting on your pajamas. Give me your shirt. You go back in the morning. What kind of game is this? Is that really instead of the $50? Every morning you have to give him back a shirt, because otherwise he's going to call to God. I have nothing else to wear. She took my shirt. You're going to be in big trouble. What's Mr. Haskell? What am I supposed to learn from this? Chavo Tachbol. Kefalacha, going back to the first Rashi line, too, after the parentheses. Kefalacha b'chavala ad kama pamim. Yeah, every night you gotta take the shirt, the day shirt, and every morning you have to give it back. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do God want us to learn from this? Kama ata chayavli, how much you are obligated, you are in debt to me. V'harei nafshecha ola etzi kol emesh ve'emesh. Don't you know your soul comes up to me every single night? V'notenes din. And it tells me all the things that happen in Olam Hazeh every night. And I find out that you are really chayiv before me. You don't really deserve your neshama back. Just like the guy doesn't really deserve his shirt back.
ani machzir alach. And nevertheless, the Ribbono Shalom every morning gives you back neshama. That just gave a din v'cheshbon. That is chayy before God. You all got a lot more than $50. And every morning, Hashem says, here's your shirt. You can't be without it. You don't have another one. You have a lot of shirts, but one soul. And God says, you're chayev. But ani machzir alach. But I'm going to give it back to you. Af ato, you learn from the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'alach lebedrach of Soti 14a. Tova hashev, tova hashev. You need to take it, because there's a law. You need to give it back. You need to take it, you need to give it back. Another added element to Modani, when I opened my eyes in the morning. What really happened last night in the middle of the night when I was sleeping? My neshama went up, and I gave a din v'cheshbon. And God said in the heavenly court, chayav, you're liable. You owe $50 and much more than $50. But you know what? I'll give it back to you. Moda ani? I admit before you, moda has two meanings, that I'm really owing, I'm in major debt. Moda ani, how thankful am I? Whatever the final phrase, last few minutes we have to talk about Rabbi Munasacha. Moda ani lefanacha, we spoke about the moda, thankful am I before you. Malach Chai V'Kayim, he's the king who sits in judgment. Shachazarta B'Nishmasi B'Chama, we've spoken about the fact that God in compassion returns my neshama, even though I'm not deserving. We got that part based on the Rashi and Mishpatim. What of the last sentence? What exactly does Rabbi Amunasacha mean? There are a number of different interpretations. First, I'm going to quote Rabbi Simcha Willig. Rabbi Simcha Willig writes, Rabbi Amunasacha can also mean it is advantageous to believe in you. Rabbi Amunasacha offers strength to the faithful. It means, how great is it to have faith in you, God? According to this interpretation, Rabbi Amunasacha means it's great to have faith in God. You understand? It is great to have Amuna. Whatever may come of life's challenges, it is comforting and strengthening to know that great benefit comes to those who believe in Hashem. Rabbi Willig says, Rabbi Simcha Willig, Rabbi Munasacha means, after this whole story of Moda Ani Lefanecha, you think after Moda Ani, why do I have to daven anymore? I'm just joking. You have to still daven. Moda Ani Lefanecha Melechai V'Kayim Shechazarat B'Nishmasi B'Chama, period. Rabbi Munasacha, it is Geshmak to have Amuna and the Ribbono Shel Olam. This interpretation maintains that Rabbi Amunasacha addresses man's faith. It means, how great is it to have faith in you? It is good to believe in Hashem for during the difficult times and the dark times and the happy times and the joyous times. What hope do we have without the greatness of our faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam? My grandfather Yitzchak ben Moshe, Alav Hashalom, writes in his memoirs of the Holocaust, I still remember several of names of those who were killed. Rabbi Yoshua Asher Weinberg, Rav Peretz Feder. He and I slept on one pallet. We talked continually about the murders. They were sent by God. Their end was near. We suffer now, my grandfather wrote, so that Mashiach will come. Whoever will survive this hell will live to see a Jewish state. I'm quoting from my grandfather's memories. They lay on the pallet. His wife was killed. His entire family was killed. His toddler daughter, Devorah, who was born in 1941, who was born Parshas B'Shalach and named after the Haftorah for Shira, Devorah was killed as a baby. And he lay on the pallet and he said, the murderers were sent by God. And whoever survives this hell, wrote my grandfather, will live to see a Jewish state. Whoever survives this will live to see Mashiach. Rabbi Amunasacha, without faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, we would not be able to exist for a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a moment. How great is it, God, to have faith in you? And another interpretation of Rabbi Amunasacha. How great is your Amuna in me? Two totally different interpretations. How great, God, is your Amuna in little, old, nothing finite, fragile, afraid, weak, insecure, human being, offer ve'efer, me. Rabbi Amunasacha. So many days we feel we're not worthy. So many days we're too tired. I'm not deserving. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not motivated enough. So many days I wake up not believing in myself to face the tasks of the day. And yet if I open my eyes, Baruch Pokeach Ivrim, then someone with a capital S does believe in me, or I wouldn't have had my life back.
And if he believes in us, who are we to deny faith in ourselves? Miriam Peretz, someone we speak of very, very often. She lost her sons Eli, Raz, and Uriel, not in that order. And in between, her husband Eliezer died. She writes of a broken heart. Uriel fell in 98 in Lebanon. And Eli Raz fell in 2010 in the Gaza Strip. He left behind a widow and four young orphans. Miriam Peretz writes, I look at things differently. I learn to value the small things in life. Every second becomes a precious moment that will never return. I imagine myself drowning in a sea of pain that threatens to choke me and overcome me. But I am fighting to hold my head above water. And I am singing my song, Miriam's song. She wrote Miriam. My boys were killed, and this is a sorrow that will never be forgotten. I don't know how long I will live. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. But today, at this very moment that still lives between my hands, maybe I have the ability, writes Miriam, to do something good. This understanding was born inside me after Uriel fell. It was sharpened when Eliraz fell. Maybe it was hidden inside me always. Today, in this moment, I try to look at the good every day. I find it and I value it. And I think the final message of this morning's shiur is that sometimes we are so focused on the morrow that we forget about the gift of today. We make plans and we need to make plans. We're going to do this in July. I'm already booking into next October, November, and I'm going to be here and I'm going to be there and this appointment. Yeah, we have to make plans. But sometimes we're so focused on what's coming tomorrow that I forget about the gift of my neshama today, in the moment. Moda ani lefanecha. I'm awake today. Shechazarta bi nishmasi bechama. And though I am undeserving with great compassion, you returned my garment to me. Again and again, tol v'hashev, rabba emunasecha. Because God, I believe in you. And I know that at the end of the day, you believe in me. Rabbi Simcha Willig says, in these two waking words, a person appreciates God's choice to keep and invest in the world. And it is this knowledge that propels us to achieve and succeed. It's a daily reminder of the invaluable role each individual plays in the world of God. Moda ani lefanecha, malach chai v'kayam, shechazarta bi, nishmasi b'chama, rabba amunasecha. So I wish you a meaningful day in the moment. Ladies, very much for coming.